You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
What it is, what's up, and welcome everyone to Faces and Feels. I'm your host, Rafe Houston, and today I'm joined by a very special guest. Now, here in Perth, Western Australia, we have seen this man grow from his earliest plates all the way up to a full-on professional, basically. That's right, it's the one and only Jesse Lambert. My man, how are you?
I'm good. I'm very... very good. Excited to be here finally. It's been in the works for a little bit.
It has. We've been talking about this for ages, right?
We have. A lot of, hey, we should get this done. Yeah, definitely. And a couple months later, yeah, we should definitely get this done. Yeah, sorry, I missed that last message. Let's get this done.
I don't know at what point where I turned off the notifications on Instagram, right? I don't know when I've done it, and I'm pretty sure I've checked the settings and they're all on, but it just never notifies me of anything. And I'm like, I've fucked it now. So like,
I've got that with my emails now. My emails just won't send me.
Just won't tell you anything, right? And so
all my unread emails have just, they're like, he's not going to read any of these.
And you're like, let's face it, now I've set a precedent, so we'll just like let it fly.
Yeah, I'll just check in every like once in a while.
Periodically, yeah. But we were bouncing around the ideas of doing this last weekend, and you literally replied going, yeah, I could do it, and I just didn't look at Instagram again for like a week, and I was like, I'm so sorry. But yeah, we're here, we've made it, so that's very exciting. And I think as far as any wrestlers that I've had on the show, I don't think I've quite seen anybody develop in the way I've seen you develop. You know, like when I first started seeing you on shows in Perth, you were kind of like so young and this like learner wrestler. And so it's like amazing to see your journey and where you've got to now. But before we get all the way and before we tell the whole story that is Jesse Lambert, let's rewind all the way back to the start. Before he even puts on an L plate, before any of that stuff happens, what were like some of the first wrestling faces that stood out to you? Like how did you even get into it? Who were the guys that really started to catch your attention, you know?
So I've had a little bit of a couple misconnections with wrestling. I've had a couple sliding doors moments, I think they're called. My first one was in about 2009. Mm-hmm. I went with my dad and his friends to go see Hulkamania at the Burswood Dome.
Hulkamania? How do I not know what this was? Was this just like a touring Hulk Hogan talk show or something?
I think Bischoff and Hogan did it, and it was like a tour of Australia. And basically every night was the same main event, I think. It was Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my first event. I didn't want to go. I was too busy. Like, I was just like, oh, I just want to watch Ben 10 or something like that.
How old are you at this point?
I was like 8.
Yeah,
I was
right.
8, but I was a bit of a loser at 8. So I was like, oh, I don't want to do this. And then my dad had to like kind of be like, come see the wrestling. Yeah. And then my cool cousins were going and like, so I was just like, all right, fine, I'll go. And I had a great time.
Yeah. Is your dad a wrestling fan, or was he just going for the novelty?
Oh, he loves like Hulk Hogan. Like he's very much like Hulk Hogan, Ultimate Warrior, like
old school kind of things.
Yeah. Big beefcakes, big John Cena guy. I had to break the news to him recently.
Oh no. Heartbreaker.
But yeah, and then like I went there when I was 8, and basically everyone kind of just tells me as the show's going on, like, mm-hmm. oh, it's all fake, by the way, blah, blah, blah.
They're already like, smartening you up in the crowd.
They're already smartening me up. So I'm like, oh my God. And then Hulk Hogan's bleeding everywhere, and I go for a high five and he misses my high five and high fives everyone around me. So I'd like to think that if I got that high five from Hulk Hogan right mm-hmm. then there, mm-hmm. I would have been hooked in.
That That would have been you. That would have been you locked. Yeah.
It happened. It didn't happen. A couple more years, didn't get into wrestling.
The bullet dodged it. You dodged the bullet and you were safe for a minute.
I was safe for a minute. Channel One on 1HD on a school night. I remember watching randomly like one of those like SmackDown recap shows.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Edge. Edge was doing the spot with doing the feud with Kane, uh-huh, where he had Paul Bearer in the wheelchair and he was just like taking him around.
Yeah.
And then I was just like, who's this guy? And then I'm like, who's this guy that he's got in this wheelchair against this bald guy?
Uh-huh.
And then my dad was like, oh, it's his dad or something. And I'm like, oh, why is no one talking about it? What do you mean?
You're and like, then, this man's assaulting a man's father on TV and nobody's doing anything about it.
Yeah, and I feel like everyone's cheering this man. What's going on?
Yeah.
And then Cena was on as well because they were recapping Cena's story. And I'm like, oh, I know John Cena because I had a pair of pajamas that had John Cena's face on it. Sure. Everybody did.
Yeah.
And then finally, get home from school one day about a year later, 1HD back on. I'm watching in my grandma's house. It's Edge's retirement.
Okay.
So I'm like, this guy's retired. Oh, no. Like,
I like that guy. He messed with that dude's dad that time.
Yeah. And then his best friend, and then it's like his best friend winning. It's Christian winning the world title.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then losing it to Randy Orton. And I'm like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
So I've always said Edge was because it made me want to go back and watch more wrestling. I bought the Edge DVD.
Yeah, right.
And I watched all that whole thing at like age 10.
Yeah.
And then that's when I was like, okay.
And that's kind of wild too, because you essentially, the guy that sort of caught your interest was leaving. He was never going to be there anymore. And you're like, I'm now into this thing and he's done.
Yeah. He was just like, I'm out. And then John Cena was there being like, I'm still here. And then I was like, all right.
Yeah. Did that make
As
you...
every 10-year-old is.
Yeah, well, this is it. Did it also make you invested in the likes of Christian and Randy Orton as well? Because they were sort of part of that.
That's, thinking about it now, it's like, oh no. It's like, because a lot of like Edge was the one who like kept me, but I'm like, gotta give credits to Big Christian and Big Randy.
Yeah, absolutely. That's
as well. It's like those two, Zack Ryder and The Rock and Cena.
And that was you.
All happening at the same time kind of just caught my interest.
Yeah. And so once you're involved in that and you start to, you know, watch these DVDs and do all these bits and pieces, like, do you do that thing where kind of a lot of us do where you drop out over high school or anything, or do you just keep going? Because I feel like when I did start watching you wrestling, I feel like you were still a kid. I don't know. Like, do you just straight through it?
Look, I stuck with it. I stuck with wrestling through my kind of drop-off period was very 2012, 2013, where I was keeping up. I was still watching it.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just kind of like, I'm not really vibing anything. Like,
it kind of wasn't very good at that point, right? Like, I think for me, I sort of dropped out around there. I was like in uni and stuff, but like I had kind of then gotten back into it for a time. And then, yeah, I was definitely out of it during that sort of era.
There were some things that were all right. Like, I think SummerSlam, that was the SummerSlam where Cena and Bryan had their match.
Oh,
I remember watching that, really enjoying that. But yeah, that kind of, I was also kind of growing up and being like, well, John Cena's kind of boring now.
Yeah.
I went into my little, like, I was into my little anti-Cena phase as well.
I only became pro-Cena very recently. Like, as an older man, I could look back and appreciate it. But when I was younger and he was, like, on top, I was like, this is what's wrong with wrestling for me and what I don't enjoy. You know?
I always say I think I'm the only person who was very sad once Cena lost to Punk at Money in the Bank.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, no, I can't believe he lost to CM Punk. He's going to get fired now. Oh no, I had to read it in like a one-page paragraph on WWE.com, and my life was torn asunder.
Oh no.
I had to wait for it to get on like Pirate Bay so my cool cousin could download it and put it on a disc for me so I could watch it.
This is heartbreaking news for you.
So that kind of was my drop off. And then WrestleMania 30, I'm starting to get like back into it.
Mm.
And then it's kind of finding indie wrestling as well.
Mm.
Like, cause then like I was on Instagram at that point and I was learning about all these guys coming into WWE and like what they were doing. And then that showed me into like that Young Bucks.
That's actually very interesting. So I started getting into New Japan and things like that just before and around when that kind of stuff happened. Like the match that caught my attention with New Japan was AJ Styles versus Shinsuke Nakamura. But then not long after that, you're talking about Shinsuke, AJ, and the Good Brothers leaving and going to WWE. And so was that around the time that you're like, who are these guys coming to WWE and where are they coming from? And then now you're watching things like New Japan and Ring of Honor and things like that.
So it was a little bit before that. It was it was when kind of Kenta... Kevin Owens and Finn Balor.
Sure, okay, yeah. So like early NXT stuff.
The earlier NXT stuff.
Yeah, wow.
And like kind of going back, and then I'd get like the clips from like the PWG matches, and it'd always be like Adam Cole, like doing something, and then it's always the same clips. It's like the Chuck Taylor wearing the dress and doing the grenade. it's the Candice LeRae giving the Young Bucks the ballplex with onto the thumbtacks.
Yeah.
And it's like the Roderick Strong chopping Adam Cole in the penis on a PWG show. It's
yeah.
Like those same clips kept coming up and I'm like, who are these people? Where is this?
Yeah.
And then kind of that's how I got into like PWG, big PWG guy for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like that kind of 2015 to 2016 PWG, even like 2017, like was great. I remember I finally got the courage to buy my first PWG DVD. It took forever to get here.
Because that was like, really, besides like internet clips and stuff, it was really the only way you could get PWG, right? Because it's not like they had streaming or anything at that point.
They were on like high spots for a bit, but then like, not really. Like, it's always like older shows. You couldn't really get like the newer stuff. Like, they'd upgrade every like couple months.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then that, and like, yeah, like the whole ring of like the whole Bullet Club kind of thing. And I think I got into New Japan at that same kind of show.
Mm-hmm.
That.
Yeah.
AJ Styles, Shinsuke.
Yeah, exactly. That? Which was such a good fucking match. I think it was Wrestle Kingdom 9 off the top of my head. I'm bad at the numbers and dates and things like that, but it was unbelievable.
It was the Wrestle Kingdom after the Ibushi and Nakamura match.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And I don't know about you. I remember watching the promo for that, like, and, you know, AJ's doing what he's doing, but then it, like, flicks to Nakamura and he's just like draped over this couch with like the IC title and I have no idea what he's saying, but I'm like, this guy's fascinating. Like, what is this, you know? And that then you tune into a Wrestle Kingdom and they have a way of, you know, how their cameras look and things like that, and it's so, you know, sports based and
it's just such a different look, which is what I feel like I needed at that time to kind of be like, oh, there's like other pathways. Because the other big point of it was like, because I kind of was like, I want to be a wrestler. And then I got to a point in like when I was like just starting high school where I was like, I don't know if I can be a wrestler. I'm going to try something else. And then seeing all these other pathways, I'm like, oh, you know, I really like wrestling. And I am like, there's all these other pathways. Maybe wrestling is the go.
That's why
I started kind of taking rest.
Yeah, that's interesting. It. So it's like, you know, maybe I don't have to be this huge, like, jacked WWE guy in order to do this and, like, have fun with this. How did you find it in Perth? Because it ain't easy here, you know, like, independent wrestling here is a bit bigger now and it's definitely more well-known. It might just be that for me because I'm, you know, around it and things. But I feel like back in the day, it wasn't as easy to find and maybe even scary to go and train in.
Oh, it very much was. I looked at a couple schools on, I just kind of Googled like pro wrestling schools, like Australia, and then it would come up with a bunch of like schools in like Melbourne and Sydney. And I'm like, well, this doesn't really help me. And then I typed in like Perth pro wrestling schools, and like a lot of other schools kind of came up, but it was when EPW had moved to Malaga.
Mm-hmm.
Because I believe they were in Maddington. I believe my parents were just like, we're not driving you to Maddington every week. So they'd moved to Malaga. And I'm like, how far is Malaga? And they're like, oh, it's about 20 minutes. I'm like, can you drop me in Malaga for wrestling school? And they would be like, okay. And then I kind of just said it's my birthday. I was like, I would just really like you to pay for my first like year of wrestling school.
Yeah.
They were like, all right, we'll do it. And then I went to my first open day with nothing but my my backyarder. Kind of my backyarder career, which was just me wrestling my friends on the couch. And then I went in there, kind of what I also watched a lot of that. Do you remember that Breaking Ground?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And like, yeah, the PC show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And all that. I remember just doing whatever they were doing as their exercises, like the little like get up and get downs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. On my couch floor, being like, all right, this is how I'm going to prepare.
Yeah. Did it help?
So I knew those. I knew those immediately. Bam. Got them locked in. Yeah. Nothing else. Went in there. Almost threw up.
Wow.
Yeah. Just David Storm was just there, and then he just made me do a bunch of squats, and I'm like, this hurts. And he's like, yeah, it does. And I'm like, okay. And then like left. And then I was just like, that was great. I loved it. Fuck, I'm sore.
Yeah, yeah. Did you have any, besides like wanting to do wrestling and stuff, were you sporty in school? You know what I mean? Like, were you playing football or anything? So you weren't like physically prepared in some way?
No, I was very, like, I did a bit of sport, but like nothing stuck. Like, yeah. I was swimming at a young age. I did Muay Thai. I started Muay Thai when I was like 11.
Mm-hmm.
Due to the fact of like, well, if I get into wrestling, then I've got this background.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I thought it would help me. Didn't help me at all. But I was more of like an artistic
mm-hmm.
person. Like I wanted to be, I think I wanted to be a film director at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I was like real, I got into my, like, I went out of my big wrestling buff and into my big like wannabe movie buff era.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think I think what's really helped you in wrestling is that kind of character aspect, right? Like, that is something that you do really well. And from like, yeah, the first moments I saw you wrestling, you were sort of like a pretty interesting and entertaining character that all of the crowd were instantly kind of behind, you know? And when you started, you know, it was kind of a bit obnoxious and stuff as well. And it could go either way, but everybody was right into it. So how do you take the sort of jump from this is my first day and this hurts a lot to I'm now on shows and I'm still, like, how old were you when you started doing the shows?
I had my first match when I was 17. It was kind of like an in-house, like, family friend show.
Uh-huh.
I was 17. It was the week, I think it was like the weekend of when I graduated high school.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. It was literally like my last week of high school. So I figured out what I was doing in high school. So I kind of, when I got into wrestling, I was very shy. I was very awkward
mm-hmm.
as well. Mm-hmm. 'Cause like, I don't really know anybody. And just, yeah, I was just like, oh, like, everyone was like, I started watching EPW before, like a year before it. So I'd known all these people. So, oh, that's Marcus Pierce. Oh, that's
Spanish. Yeah, you're so, feeling a little bit, a bit fanny.
And then, yeah, and I really, I think just having, and then like, I credited a lot to having like that kind of love for performing and also just kind of having like a real supportive friend network. Because mm-hmm. once I started making friends in wrestling, like, you just feel so much, you just feel so much easier to open up.
Yeah.
And yeah, and I got ragged on a lot for being young, and I feel like that's helped as well, because I'm like, well, they're already laughing at me. Might as well try and get them on my side.
Yeah, sure.
And then just a lot of that kind of stuff. The fact that I wasn't great when I started made the L plate kind of thing fall into place really well.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. It was interesting. So for anybody that hasn't seen EPW, when Jesse first debuted, he kind of debuted as a trainer wrestler, right? Like, I don't know how they do it in the States or anywhere, but in Australia, when you get your driver's license, you start with your learner's permit. When you're driving in the car, you have like a yellow L plate on your car. And then once you graduate past that, you get your P plates, which means you can drive by yourself, but you have certain restrictions and you can't drive after certain times and things happen. So you've got a P plate on your car and then you get your full license. So when Jesse debuts, he is a learner wrestler and he has like L plates on his gear and stuff. And you were essentially, did you start on your own and then you're like trying to be with the guys, you know, that leads to like 2.5 wrestlers and stuff? Or are you immediately introduced with them? I forget how it.
The immediate idea was when they were like, here's your first match, you're wearing an L plate.
Mm-hmm.
And Dan had kind of been seen as like the nice guy, Dan Moore.
Yes.
He'd always been like, he was kind of one of those teachers who'd been there since day one and always looked out for me.
Uh-huh.
And was always very like dad-like to me. Mm-hmm. And then, so they were like, Dan's going to be your, like, your instructor.
Yeah. Like your trainer. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah. And Dan doesn't get a lot of credit, but Dan's very underrated with his comedic timing.
Mm-hmm. I think he's very entertaining.
Dan's really good at making you believe he doesn't want to be there, but I can assure you he does want to be there. But so that's kind of started, and it was me and Dan, and then it started kind of like, Dan hadn't really had much going on as well. Well, he got out like a real big singles run, and then he was just like, look, after this, like, I'll bring you on to main shows with me and have you manage me. And I'm like, okay. And then, basically, at that time, Bob had kind of come into it and was just like, well, I really like what you guys are doing. What if I come in?
Yeah.
And then, so Bob kind of came in, and then basically, like, it was like Bob's trying to toughen up Dan. Dan's trying to teach me how to wrestle. And then I was teaching Bob how to be...
How to have a heart.
How to be young and be relevant again.
Yeah.
And it was just that kind of dynamic, and then we just kind of all got along with it. We just kind of got together. We just filmed whatever we could, and we just had a real good time with it.
Absolutely, yeah, because I remember seeing you. Yeah, you were not in the ring at the time, but you were, like, cheering them on, and you'd get involved, yeah. and things would happen. But I immediately thought at the time, I was like, this place, like, everybody here loves this kid. You know what I mean? Like, and you were very funny. And so everybody was super about it. Do you think that time where you were just like around them and not necessarily in every match, but getting that time in front of the crowd really helped you develop faster and maybe like your confidence and all those things, because you're putting performance and, you know, creativity and all that stuff first, even more so than the ring stuff at that point, you know?
I think so. I do really think so. At that point, I was wrestling on showcases, so I was still wrestling to a point, but like on main shows it would be like, well, you're managing. And at the time I'd be like, oh man, like, but looking back at it now, I think it helped quite a lot, because it helped me get in front of the crowd. Like Bob and Dan were very generous with like being like, so we'll do something with Jesse on the outside, and very much like getting me involved rather than just being a guy who's there.
Absolutely.
And I think a lot of people seeing kind of my character work there and seeing that kind of work and be like, well, that's different from any other match on the card, and he's a different manager, so we'll do something.
Sure.
With him, and then that kind of stuff, and then a lot of people being, sometimes I'd feel bad, but I'd have like ideas of being like, hey, what if we did this, and luckily they'd be like, that's dumb, I like it.
Yeah, they're just down to have fun.
So I'd get myself something in there, but like I just, yeah, like that, and then I feel like that kind of got, showing, kind of going from this person who's ringside, to this bigger character, to a wrestler, to like The Graduation, I think has helped me quite a lot. It's something I've always talked about. It's like, that'd be really cool. Like, if people get to see me progress, the fact that I'm like still there and people are still seeing me progress, I think it's been really like,
well, you become their guy, right? Like it was like I said in the intro, like, I don't think I've been there and seen a wrestler develop in the way that they presented you and allowed you to develop over time. And, you know, it's not like it happened overnight either. And so, like, in all that time that you spent, you know, side of the ring, doing all that stuff with them, by the time you were in conflict and on your own and in the ring and in these matches, people were very invested in seeing you do well. You know, it's not like you're just a rookie, like, hey, I'm in the ring and I'm going to win this match. Like, it's like, let's go. Like, he's fucking been, you know, working at this for ages. And so I think by the time, you know, we get to where we get to, it's a big fucking deal, you know, like, to see you go that far. And then, you know, maybe I should ask you actually before we sort of hotshot through stuff, because I definitely want to touch on your time in TMDK this and things like that. But what would you say is the next biggest story beat for you? So you start, you're doing the 2.5 wrestlers thing. You start to be involved in stuff more. When do you come into like your first conflict? You know what I'm trying to say, right? Like your kind of first angle and first start to have that kind of stuff happen with
you. I'd say my first kind of like real big conflict with that is, I feel like if there's three, the story beats so far have been L plating and starting.
Yeah.
And then Bob joining us and forming 2.5 wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
And then to get to from that, we do get to the big, and I feel like it's been my biggest conflict so far.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the Untouchables and Amber.
Yes, exactly right. And that's when it starts to become more serious for you, for Jesse, right? Like, because he's this fun-loving dude and he's, you know, he's with his mates and he's learning how to be a wrestler and he's doing that. But then the conflict with the Untouchables happen and it starts to become real for him. Like the stakes become real and he's actually in danger because these are two very like intimidating people.
Yeah.
But also he's being manipulated emotionally. There's like a lot happening and it's like,
there is.
Yeah.
Just started as just like, I've got a crush on this lady.
Yeah. So she's the manager for this other tag team, right? Like, so the Untouchables, TMDK, who's Marcus Pitt and Damian Slater. They have a manager, Amber, and they're sort of in conflict with Bob and Dan, right? But then you have a crush on the manager is the thing. Yeah.
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 And that story kind of had like, cause it started in like 2020, right before the world shut down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So Dan's starting to wrestle by himself. Dan wrestles Marcus Pitt.
Uh-huh.
And that's when I kind of developed my crush for Amber.
Okay.
And then after that, Bob and Dan kind of come in to wrestle Damien Slater and Julian Ward, who was in the Untouchables.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's right. That's what it is. Yep. Mm-hmm.
We do the big thing. I accidentally kiss Damien Slater, toss them the match. We win our first tag match. And then the world shuts down for like 2 years.
Yeah.
And then we finally like circle back around being like, hey, we still hate you. And I'm like, yeah, well, I still love your manager. And then we have a little bit of a fun there. And then, yeah, it just goes into this real dark turn.
Yeah, because she, like, they start to then play around with that, right? Like, they start to manipulate you and maybe play on those feelings and try and use you against them, right? Like, that's essentially what it is. And you, sort of think you're with them essentially and with her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just very much like develops into this whole thing where I like start to think I'm part of the team and I just, as soon as they were like, you're just pretending you're part of Team DK, I was just like, all right, I've got to go all out with this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like just as soon as that happened, I was just like, I've got to just commit. I've just got to pretend I'm in the full team.
Yeah. Just in Jesse's mind, he's part of TMDK. He's in there. They're his friends. He's all twisted around. You know, he thinks he has the girl, but in reality, he's completely got the back end of it. And his friends are like, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah. Just full, like, and then it blows up in my face and all that. And then, yeah, we finally get, and I feel like having me grow, I think going back to the whole seeing me grow up thing, you do see like a lot of me grow up in that story because it very much starts as like little child crush, very innocent.
Yeah.
To guy getting like, kind of like developing like his feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I get to, like, the midway point is kind of like the puberty stage.
Yeah, it is. It's like you go from kid, then you're into, like, your teenage sort of, like, rebellious kind of poor decision era. Yeah.
And then that, and then I finally kind of reach my senses.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I graduate.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, like, he's all confused. He likes this girl. He's got these feelings. But at the end of the day, Jesse's a good person. And he's like, this is fucked, and kind of stands up for himself. And the graduation that you speak of is when he essentially, you know, graduates from his L plates to his P plates, and he wins the fucking title from those dudes. And I was in the house from that, and I've been in some crazy crowds, bro. Like, you know, I've been at Wrestle Kingdom when Naito won. You know, I've seen Moxley debut at Double or Nothing. I've seen stuff like that. But that crowd that night, like, nobody mattered more than Jesse Lambert. Like, the entire crowd was so invested, and you came out and there's like the change of music and the gear and you're onto the piece, and the place fucking blew up. Like, it was WrestleMania. It was crazy.
It was such a wild, it's such like a wild event where, because it wasn't originally supposed to be Slater. It was supposed to be Slex.
Yeah.
It wasn't even supposed to be me versus Slex. I'd won a rumble.
Because Slex gets injured, right? Because he's the champ or whatever, and TMDK start being a bit evil, and then he got injured in that match.
So
it starts with
Taylor King getting, I've won the rumble earlier in the night. Uh-huh. I'm ready to cash in on another match.
Yeah.
And Taylor King sadly does his knee in.
And this is real life injury.
This is real life. This happens at the Super Show.
Yeah.
Like on the Super Show, it's such like a big event.
Yeah.
And all that. And then like TMDK, like Slex has just made his challenge. Like he's fighting whoever's the APW champion.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what do we do? Like all that. And then I got the word and it's like, look, cash in for your heavyweight title match.
Yeah, so is that the thing, like, because Taylor does his knee legit, and so Slex is just, like, holding up the title, like, I'm going to take this. I'm obviously going to fucking be it because he's injured, and then you cash in. And so is it essentially for the vacated title? Is that what the match is for?
Title.
Yeah, because Taylor's then fucked, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then basically Tay vacated the belt, the show I... So right after he vacated the belt, I made tensions known. I'm like, I'm coming in. I'm gonna cash in for the world title.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
And then basically, I think the week I make my big challenge to Slex, I post it, and a week later I get a message being like, "Hey, sit tight. Slex is out." And I'm like, "Well, it was fun while it lasted." And then basically I saw they announced it was me versus Damian Slater.
Yeah.
And I was just kinda like, in a way, this is fate.
Yeah, it's perfect at that point.
Because I've always kind of said my biggest arch nemesis in wrestling, because we all have one. We all have one. And I feel like it's like you're very Dennis and the neighbor, like, I'm trying to think of big arch nemesis as Buzz Lightyear and the other guy. Oh, Luke and Vader. That's the whole thing.
Yeah, true. I know what you're trying to say, though. Like that one guy that keeps coming back around. That, like,
the
from
one
the,
guy.
Yeah.
Batman is a joke. And it's Damian Slater and Jesse Lambert, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
He'll never admit it, but I've already admitted it for him.
Yeah, so yeah. He doesn't need to be you know, you don't need to be his arch nemesis for him not to be yours. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, he's it's a definite stumbling block. And in the match, it was done so well.
His doubting of being me being his arch nemesis makes me his arch nemesis. Let's be real.
Exactly. And it also, his overlooking Jesse is what leads to his downfall in that situation. Because he's like, this is, you know, he completely underestimates him and ends up fucking losing because of it, you know, like he, and that's poetic, you know, like this whole time, because you're like, I am still working at this, and no, I may not have like your experience and your body and all these kind of things, but I'm going to keep on going. And the way it all plays out is very fun. And it was just like the perfect night in a lot of ways. Like, it was, a very fun event. It must have felt amazing for you, like, after all that time.
It was, I'd been a fan of EPW before I started. Mm-hmm. So, like, for a year, because I wanted to train when I was 15, I couldn't. So I started going to shows.
Mm.
And I've really, over the years, kind of held that belt in high regard.
Sure.
And it's always kind of been like maybe I'll win it one day.
Yeah.
So for it to finally happen at this kind of stage of my life,
mm-hmm.
I very much was just like, wow, never thought in my life this would happen.
Yeah. It was still quite a way on. Like, even though he graduates to his P's, right, that still technically isn't, he doesn't have a complete license yet, you know? So to sort of get it in the way he did, I forget how long you sort of kept it for, but it's sort of like it's glimpses at the future in a way. He gets that sort of taste of it, and you're getting like a look at what he can be, but he's not all the way there yet, you know, but it was a definite level up.
Yeah.
And is that sort of how you, because P plates, currently, but I mean, at the end of the day, he's still not all the way cooked in a way.
No, like, and it's one of those, and it's the big challenge where a lot of the challenge for the champion is kind of getting there.
Yeah,
like it's very much about the chase, and I feel like, especially with having the title for those few defenses, it was very much just being like a let's see if this was a fluke. Mm-hmm. Let's see if he can still hold it.
Yeah.
And still hold his own. Mm-hmm. And it's very much like a learning to be a champion by being the champion.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Like
a lot of people, and it's the way I thought I'd learn to be a champion is by kind of like, you know, growing up and graduating to a ready where it's like, all right, now you're ready. This is the point.
Mm-hmm.
But it very much just kind of happened very, like I made my claim. It happened very quickly. Mm-hmm. And I'm just kind of like, well, I've just got to kind of learn how to be this now.
How to do it. Absolutely. And it's a perfect snapshot of wrestling too, in that not everything, because it's a very fluid art form, not everything happens in the way you think it is. You know what I mean? Injuries happen, things happen, the dice is cast, and it's like, and now I'm here. And now I just got to make it work. Like, that's just how it goes, you know?
It's very crazy with all that. And I feel like a lot of the last couple champions and a lot of big wins are these final, like, my whole career has been leading up to this moment, like, as this big win and all that. And it's kind of like the defining point of the career. So for it to kind of just be this big shock win,
mm-hmm.
where, like, no one really thought I was going to win. And it's just kind of one of those things that really drives home that anything is possible.
Yeah. Absolutely. So how long total have you been wrestling for now? How many years are we?
I think I'm in my, from starting training, I want to say, so I was 17, I was 16. So I think I'm in my eighth year.
Yeah. And you're still so young, man. You know what I mean? Like, there's still such a way to go. And the great thing about, I guess, your wrestling style and like how entertaining you are is you don't, like, you can continue to do this and also continue to create the kind of content that you create for a very long time. Like, I think you've been very smart about it.
Yeah. I think I've been blessed to do, because a lot of people don't do a lot in their first couple years.
Mm-hmm.
of wrestling. Like, it's very much all of that. So I'm really, it's been real fortunate. I've done a lot in those first couple years.
Sure.
And now it's kind of just in the way it's going to be hard to keep a level later in my career that I've reached already.
Mm-hmm.
I might have peaked already. Who knows?
Sure. I severely doubt that. Like, you're so creative with your promos and stuff. If anybody doesn't follow Jesse online, we'll give you all these like social media stuff, but you're always doing like really funny skits and different pieces. I always make sure I check them out. The last Manu one was very funny. It's such like a fucking Australian promo, but it was really enjoyable. And I think that those kind of entertaining aspects give like longevity for sure.
There's inside of every single one of those promos, there's a 10-year-old who signed up to YouTube with a bad email account because he was like, okay, I'm going to become a YouTuber.
Yeah.
So a lot of that dream has been realized
through wrestling.
If I'd gotten on the TikTok bandwagon early on, I'd be a content creator, but
I mean, you kind of are still.
All of that into wrestling.
Yeah, absolutely. So what do you think is, like, next for you as far as goals go, you know, when it comes to the growth of the character and what you want to be doing or what you feel are, like, the next ways that you, you know, want to go onwards and upwards? What do you kind of start to aim towards?
Well, it's always going to be in my head. I want to get the title back,
mm-hmm.
as you do.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I'm kind of I'm going for the Invitational tournament. Mm-hmm. That's gonna hopefully that will get me back to there. Mm-hmm. That's gonna be the quickest way. Other than that, like I've been grateful. I've been able to travel interstate for a while.
Sure.
So I've been down. I'll be back down at IWA. In New South Wales on mm-hmm. the 12th of April.
Mm-hmm.
That's an exclusive. I haven't said anything about that one. We just filmed the promo yesterday.
That's fun.
So that'll be back. And then I've just kind of been trying to get back into... I want to try and get back down to Melbourne, Adelaide, kind of new places. I've never been to Brisbane for wrestling before. I'd like to get back there. And then the next big goal, I guess, is just kind of saving up and going to the States.
Mm-hmm. Get in there and get onto some indies in the States and things like that to begin with.
Yeah, going worldwide.
Yeah, that's it.
It's
hard, right? Like, we're so far away from everything. Like, here in Perth, we're so far away from even, like, other parts of Australia that it's, like, it's a big investment to get places and try and get seen and things like that.
One of the biggest advices I've got lately
mm-hmm.
when I've asked for advice with all that is basically, oh, don't live in Perth. And I'm like, well, thanks. Like, this helps. But no, but like, I get why they're coming from. But I do love Perth, though.
Yeah. There is something to be said. There is a certain advantage as well of being, it's a little bit of a microscope on an area where there's nothing around it. You know what I mean? It is, it's a big fish, small pond type vibe, and you know, you can be a bit of a novelty to other places, I feel, you know, like exactly. So there's that. Yeah,
I was very much I actually asked Shane Hayes when he came
mm-hmm.
for he was over for a little bit, yeah. And I asked him, I was just kind of like, hey man, like, what do you think's like the way to go for like going to like somewhere like the States and, you know, like my character, like mm-hmm. what's the way to do it? Mm-hmm. And he kind of, it's real funny because he just kind of hit me with, you know what they love? Bluey. You should get like a luchador mask, put Bluey on it, and then you're set. And I was just like,
that's insane advice.
Okay. And I thought about that for like a good while where I was like, maybe I'll do this. And I was like, wait a minute. No, I can't do this.
It's an absolute rip.
This doesn't help me at all. But then, yeah, just kind of been looking at that and then looking at like trying to find a way to get the character over in a foreign medium.
Yeah.
and all that. So hopefully if you see one of those available for bookings in the States, pictures on Instagram, it means I will have finally figured it out.
Yeah, exactly. He'll be on there. But hey, you're a young dude. There is time. You know what I mean? There's plenty of ways to go. And I don't think it had, you know, you been asked back when you first started that you would even think you're where you are now, or it would have played out the way it did. So who knows, and who knows definitely where not. Opportunities will come from, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely anything is possible right now. So it's worked out. Anything is possible has worked out for me in great ways so far.
Yeah.
And I'm just hoping that it sticks with that, and I'll do whatever I can to make it stay that way.
Absolutely. That's awesome. Now, before we finish up, I feel like it would be literally remiss of me to not talk about it, because we do have, like, there's been a big announcement, right? Like, we had WWE come to Australia, was it last year, and do Elimination Chamber. They came to Perth, took over the city of Perth. I don't know. I was in Japan at the time, but apparently it was a big deal. And you had a run-in with Dominic Mysterio, which was very funny and was kind of viral a little bit because you guys look similar. Now they have announced that this is going to happen a lot, right? They're going to do 3 or 4 events in Perth again, we're the most isolated city in the world, but they're specifically just doing the events in Perth, not in other places in Australia. So how did that situation play out? And it was a little bit wild for a time, right? Like, you were doing interviews, you were busy, you were like, yeah.
It happened right after I won the P plates at Reawakening.
Yeah.
It was that day, like, I had heard rumblings that they were in Perth. People were going up to me being like, oh, your doppelganger might be here. And I'm like, oh, yeah. I was too nervous about the match to kind of like real be like, oh, maybe he is here.
Yeah.
And then literally before I'm about to go out the curtain, I get a message from James Harkness.
Yeah.
And he's just like, good luck. You're going to kill it. By the way, Dominic Mysterio is right upstairs watching your match.
What? And I'm just like, the title match? Like the... Yeah.
No, this was the six-man, the Amber and the Untouchables versus me, Bomb Dan.
Sure, kind of sure. Like, yeah.
They
yeah.
lose, they retire. If Amber loses, she retires. That's yeah, when that game yep, yep, yep. plates finally. And I just was like, oh no, this is like the biggest match, my point. Like, yeah, this is yeah. what we've been building up to.
Uh-huh.
And luckily, everything goes out without a hitch. It all goes well. I'm coming back. I've literally got tears in my eyes. I'm hanging out. And then, like, I'm just going around. I'm high fiving people. I just see a guy in a hoodie in the corner and he goes, like, he's like, good stuff, man. I'm like, thank you very much, Dominic Mysterio. Very good. And then I'm like, oh my God. And then, like, I go back in the locker room and I'm like, crazy, right? And then everyone, like, I think they follow right after. So everyone's going over to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like there. And then everyone was just like, you got to get the photo. You've got to get it. Because I've been getting it ever since I, like, grew out my hair into a mullet. I've been getting it.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
I've
sure.
been getting it wherever. People who don't even know just stop me on the street and saying it.
Oh, like thinking you are him or saying you look like him?
Or just being like, hey, do you know Dominic Mysterio? Yeah, you look like him.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, thank you. Cool. And then I was just like, oh, can we get a photo? He's like, yeah. And then luckily Rhea was just like, oh my God, can we get a photo? And I was just like, okay.
Yeah.
All right. And then we did it. And then I was like, I wasn't going to post it because I was like, I don't know. I feel like weird doing it because, like, they're just here as, like, because they have friends who are backstage.
Sure. Absolutely. And you're like, do I want to be like a kind of fanboy type thing, or do I want to be like co-workers?
But then everyone
like,
else, yeah. Everyone else has started doing it. And then someone was just like, just do it. Like, yeah. I'm sure it's fine. And I'm like, okay, thank you. I'll do it. I did it. And then it went crazy.
Yeah. That's great. And, yeah. So funny. Any attention, man. It's like, you know, it all works.
I saw her backstage at the Super Show as well, and I just went up to her. I'm like, thank you so much for the clout. Really, really appreciate it. Yeah. Really did numbers for me. And she's like, oh, no worries. But yeah, that's insane. And then, you know, a lot of my Twitter feed now is like the Rhea Ripley, like Stan Army, And then, like, a lot, I'll get, like, a follow every once in a while from someone. And then I feel like as soon as he turned on her at SummerSlam,
yeah,
I was like, well, there goes half my followers.
You're like, I'm fucked now.
Yeah, I'm going to start receiving the death threats. Like, I'm
he's so funny every time you see an article where it's like, Dom has now turned three, like, heel three times while still being a heel. Like, he just keeps doing more evil shit. And you're like, you're killing me.
It's fucking my image. I remember I did one of the, and then I did it, I got an interview, I got a DM from someone from Sports Key to India.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, okay. Like, this is weird, I'll do it. And yeah. I did it right here in my car. And he asked me a question about CM Punk coming back. Like, that was one of the questions.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, and I gave my answer and all that kind of stuff. And he's like, cool. And he was telling me, he's like, oh, we might do like an article about your answer to this question. I'm like, oh, my CM Punk question? I don't think anybody wants to.
Why would anybody care? Did they?
It was just so funny. I don't think they did in the end, no. But I was just like, oh, I can't wait. But there is a video of YouTube on the Sports Keto account being like, Aussie Dirty Dom talks CM Punk return and being in Australia. And then but then I saw recently the little John Cena kid.
Yes.
They got him for an interview.
Did they?
Yeah, they got the little John Cena kid and they interviewed him. And I'm like, oh, I know how you feel, brother. I've been there.
We're just like this guy on the periphery. It's like, it's a slow news day. They're just like getting anybody.
Yeah, we're all in a stable now. It's me, the John Cena kid, Angry Miz girl, the guy who's shocked about the Taker incident.
Just all these Brock like wrestling
fans. The Brock Lesnar shirt guy. We're all in a group and we're all coming. Yeah. We're all coming for the big dog.
We've got a WhatsApp. We're all hanging out.
Yeah, we're all hanging out. We're getting brunch. We're getting Yochi tonight. It's gonna be great. It's all sick.
That's amazing. So tell everybody, like, if they want to keep up with everything Jesse Lambert, they're going to need to follow you on Instagram and everything like that so they can check out your videos and start to really understand, you know, the magic and the humor that is Jesse Lambert. So tell people where to find all your stuff, my man.
Alrighty. I'm on Instagram, Twitter, and I believe Facebook at Jesse P Plate, at Jesse P Plate. I wrestle for EBW Perth. We've got a show. Is this be out before April 5th?
Yeah, it might be. It'll probably be out next week, but you know, do it anyway. These are
April
evergreen.
April 5th collision course. Mm-hmm. If you do miss the show, EBW on the Vault on Vimeo, you can go take a look at my back catalog. Yeah. We've got a couple matches on the EBW Perth YouTube channel, including the match we talked about with Damian Slater. So give that a watch. And then, yeah, my Gmail is brookjessielambert@gmail.com.
There you go. Nice and easy.
I think that's everything.
That's it. There you go. Look how professional.
jessielambert.bigcartel.com. I started a Big Cartel recently.
That's it. He's got some great merch as well. So make sure you check that out.
Some good merch. I shut down the pre-orders now, but I think I'm going to have some stock left over. So if you don't pick them up at Collision Course or if you're in New South Wales, RWA, final hour at St. John Park.
There you go.
But yeah, they'll be online.
Perfect. That is so good. Dude, I want to thank you for your time this morning. I'm glad we finally got to do this because we've literally been talking about doing it for years.
We picked the perfect point. Could you imagine if we did it while I was still playing and none of this stuff going on?
Exactly. So much has happened in like such a, you know, the last year or so. So yeah, it's really awesome.
We'd just be going over the Hulkamania card and
breaking it down.
Yeah, we'd be going through that card, and I don't know if you've ever looked at it, but I've taken a look at it over the years just to see all the names, and there's some crazy people. Like Gangrel was there.
Gangrel.
I'm pretty sure Rikishi was there. Like some bigger names. We actually had the canvas because they used our ring.
Oh, really?
So the old EPW training ring is what they use as the ring for the show. and we used to have the old canvas. So for a while, I did train on the canvas that had Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair's butt. So
it's legendary shit.
I've either picked up some talent, or I've got something in the blood that I need to go get checked. One of the two.
I think it's probably both. It is probably both. As long as you weren't bleeding in it, mate, it might be okay. Or maybe
yeah, I've got steroids and liquor in my system now forever.
I love it. Dude, thanks so much. Thanks to everybody for listening. I hope you've enjoyed this interview with Jesse. Check out everything that he has online. Make sure you check out EPW Perth, the prominent, you know, kind of indie here in Perth, and they really have great production value. So make sure you check out all that stuff. And then if you're over this way, make sure you go check out a show. And until then, and until next time, remember, it's all about peace, love, and pro wrestling. Thanks for listening. Faces and Feels is a proud member of the Count Out Podcasting Network. It is created and hosted by me, Rafe Houston, edited by myself and the amazing Ryan Neitzy, and the show is available on all good podcast platforms, so please go rate and subscribe. You can follow the show everywhere on social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, etc. at Faces Feels Cast. And you can check out the Count Out Network and all our sister shows over there at Count Out Pod. If you'd like to book me for commentary, have an interview request, a topic suggestion, or you just want to say hi, you can email us at facesandfeels@gmail.com. With all that said, thanks for listening, and please support our friends and sponsors. Peace.
This has been a Count Out Podcast.
Hello, my name is Jessica and I'm the host of Jumping Knee Pod, a modern day All Japan podcast. Join me and a guest each month as we cover all that went down in the ring, outside of the ring and everywhere else. Big title matches, tournaments, character arcs, storytelling, feuds and more. It's all covered on Jumping Knee Pod. Look out for a bonus episode every once in a while covering a variety of All Japan topics. So make sure you tune into Jumping Knee Pod. It's a new All Japan podcast for a new All Japan era.